We so appreciate Sunday morning, Pastor Deb. Bessie, just give her a hand. That was awesome. She kept going. I said, hey, man, I don't have to preach. It was just a flow there. And I so appreciate her stepping up for that. And unless you've had to step behind this pulpit, sometimes you don't know it's a lot of pressure. So thank you. I want to continue the talk about rest. I'm going to kind of go a little bit different direction of Sunday morning. I want to talk about rest for the weary. How many have ever had some weariness in your life? And I don't know about you, at times it's hard to find that rest at that moment. I think today more people are weary than ever. Things in life don't always pan out. Dreams, marriages, all children, all those things are wonderful, but sometimes they just don't bring the rest that we thought they were going to bring. I want to go to the scripture in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Heavenly Father, bless your word tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Now, you've got to realize here, and I know you do, that Jesus here is our rest. But here's the children of Israel having been in bondage 400 years. They did not know what rest was. One generation would come, one would die, the next would be in that bondage. They never had vacations. They never had a day off. They worked continually. So I imagine when God said this, of course, to Moses, and I'm sure he said it to the children of Israel, they were probably trying to conjure on the screen of their imagination what rest was. And I began to think about that in my own personal life, that being saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, called into ministry, etc., etc. But I don't think in my early years as a believer, I really knew and processed rest right, the right way. In fact, I probably went years, and it's not the same parallel as the children of Israel, but you can be on this planet and working and producing children and careers, but never really resting. Even as believers, many people burn out. Shipwreck, weary. And Paul told us in Galatians 6:10, don't be weary because you're going to reap something. But here God's telling Moses, he goes, listen, Moses, my presence is not just something you feel. My presence is me. I'm going with you, and I'm going there not just to be the administrator of the promised land. I'm going there because I'm going to bring a much needed rest to my people. I'm going to believe it's time in our lives we have a understanding of rest and a much needed rest. Amen. The word rest there means basically four things: relaxation, relief, ease, and liberty. All of those make up the word rest. How many have found sometimes in life it's hard to relax? Almost every time I go on vacation, for 5 days, 8 days, the first 3 days, I'm just trying to relax. And what's amazing is by the end of the vacation, I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to relax and have a nice vacation. Am I the only one like that? Maybe the first day you're jumping in the pool. How about relief? You see, the children of Israel needed some relief. How about ease? You know, life can burden us down, and the opposite of ease is dis-ease. A lot of dis-ease, I think, in our bodies are from a lack of real rest, a lack of something we're carrying we should have never carried. Ulcers, a lot of times, are not just what we're eating, it's what's eating us. And even as believers, even as Christians that speak in tongues, still, we can not understand and walk in that rest. And I'll be the first one that needs a refresher for us. How about liberty? Rest is liberty. Now, the elements of rest affect three areas: the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. Body, soul, and spirit. It's possible to be spiritually at rest, but physically and emotionally not at rest. How many know this old tinker up here that controls our body? How many know the thoughts, the feelings, and the emotions can get out of rest real quick? Like I said, Sunday morning we went to a couple days in Williamsburg, and it was a pool, and the kids were jumping in signs, don't jump, don't do this. And all of a sudden, when they started doing it, the first thing, they said, I wonder where the staff was. The second was, where's their parents? But anyhow, amen. And I could see the whole atmosphere of the pool change. There's no rest anymore. I mean, who wants somebody jumping in something? Because we're big under a little kid that doesn't see them. Emotional rest, physical rest, and spiritual rest. I want to talk about this tonight. And I want to make this statement, because while I was putting this together, I've never heard a preacher, I've never got this out of a commentary, I'm praying over here in the morning, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, joy is rest. And I thought, it's like, joy is rest. In other words, when I'm in joy, I'm in rest. And when I'm out of joy, I'm not in rest. It can't be I'm in God's rest and I have no joy. So really, the thermometer of being, am I in the rest of God, is my joy. And just as you have to work at, not joy, but you have to work at the little foxes that come to take the joy. And I've learned many little foxes come from thoughts and things in my inner man that I'm still trying to prove to God I'm worthy of His love. Joy is rest. Look at Habakkuk 3, verse 17. One of my favorite parts of Scripture in the Bible. I've gone to it many times. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive oil shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk on high places. See, when I'm not in the rest of God, I'm walking on low places. Struggling with negative thoughts. Struggling with false guilt. Struggling with memories that the enemy brings back to try to snare my joy. He's going to make me walk on high places. You know why? Because that's where God walks. He said, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Mine are higher. So when I think about rest, I cannot leave the reality out that I must start thinking like God. I must resist thinking with the philosophies of this world. I must not, like Paul said, the oppositions of science that will try to say we came from a frog. I must, if I'm going to have that joy and that rest, I cannot cut out my responsibility to think like God. 66 books is given to us to think like God thinks. See, there's unrest everywhere, just like there was in the book of Habakkuk. First of all, he said there's no blossoms. Have you ever woken up one morning and there's no blossoms? I mean, there could be flowers out, but You're just not seeing the blossoms. No grapes. Now, grapes come from vineyards. Vineyards have to be pruned. Vineyards have to be, you just don't plant grapes and leave. They have to be looked after. You have to give them care. How many in your life, you've done this with a person, you've done this, you've cared for them, and you're thinking grapes, and years down the road, there's no grapes. You can get an unrest in them. How about no olives? Now back in his day, and even in today, in the days of Jesus, olives were very important. Olive oil, that's when they got the oil to light the lamps, etc. And then he said there's no food from the fields. That brings unrest, doesn't it? Last year we had the COVID thing. I remember going to the store and trying to find some paper towels and paper plates and stuff and going there, and they were empty. So I went to another store, empty. Went to get some kind of hamburger, empty. And there was no way I was going to buy Spam. I grew up on that stuff, fried it with eggs, and everything. I can't eat it today. Yikes. What's that other stuff? Chitlins or something?
Ooh.
That's chocolate down south, right?
Yeah.
That, we don't have chickens, so I guess anyway, no food. No food. A lot of people have never grown up with no food. A lot of people, we've just never been there, but, a third of the world doesn't have enough food. And even in our nation, there's a lot of people that cannot go to the refrigerator and, don't want the prime rib or the Salisbury steak. No. I think I'll have the Caesar salad with the chip. No, I don't want that either. How about that burger? No, honey, we just don't have anything in the refrigerator. No food. How about no flocks? A lot of unrest. How are you going to get the milk? How are you going to get the cheese? And he said, no herds. No wool. Now, think about this. No blossoms, no grapes, no olives, no food, no flocks, no herds. Unrest everywhere. And he had a revelation that, man, I've got to get back in the rest of God. I cannot look at what's happening around me. How many millions and millions of people are stuck looking at all the things around them, negative things, hurtful things, and we think we can handle a lot of that, but we really can't. It brings an unrest. We cannot handle hours of bad news and things that are seeing pictures and images. I'm going to tell you something. It'll take your rest emotionally. Because it starts to creep into our subconscious that, man, is God really in charge here? Is he really in control here? Not that he's doing that. No blossoms, no grapes, no olives, no food from the fields, no flocks, no herds. Unrest in his life. And in his life. I want to give you three things. Number one, he knew, like we know, there's a promise God has given us about rest. It's a promise. It's nothing, I can't earn it. I can't be a good enough church person. It's a promise God made without me, without my help. I have to cooperate, but I cannot change the promise he made. It's there 24/7. And Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you. In other words, you've got the wrong yoke on. You've got the yoke of unrest. And learn of me. In other words, the incomplete knowledge of my character is one of the reasons you're not in rest. An incomplete understanding of who I am and my mercy and love is one of the reasons you have the wrong yoke on. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. What does that mean? Meek and lowly? It means that he's not doing his own thing. He's not a selfie Jesus. That his meekness and his lowliness are a product of his love that causes him to be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. That he is sensitive to us. You shall find rest. I said, There are days I should have never went 1, 2, 3 days without resting. There are days I should have never allowed that yoke. But my incomplete understanding of how good God is, that although I know and can say how good God is, the reality is until it's processed in here and becomes faith during a storm, I still got to learn something. For my yoke is easy. Remember we talked about one of the definitions of rest is easy. My burden's light. I don't want to tell you, this world will put some heavy burdens on you. Your family can be heavy burdens. The condition of the world will be heavy burdens. But he promised, if we'll do this, number one, you got to take off that yoke, baby. Number two, this needs to be a new hunger to know who he is, not just what he can do for you. And understand that his character is not proud and arrogant. He's not going to be over you and correct you and chastise you. He said you're going to find rest as a promise. Second thing is the entrance of rest. How does rest come? How do we enter into it? Hebrews 4:10, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. But he makes a statement, Paul. Let us therefore labor to enter that rest. I was in the delivery room for all three of my children. And I can tell you, it's labor. There's a lot of them, I tell you. And our first child, David, before he was born, you know, we did the Lamaze thing. All that. It's nice and cute. We have a big shower. Baby, that moment. All that stuff. Get this baby out. So I was there in the room, and of course, I've never seen a woman in labor right there. My wife. So I said, well, she needs a, you know, she needs a washcloth on her forehead, you know. So I went quickly and got it and put it on it. She took it off and threw it. You did this. No, she didn't say that. But anyway, she did throw the thing at it. Labor. We don't produce the rest. We enter the rest. But there is a labor. There is some effort on our part. You know, any dead fish can float down the river. But there are times that I've got to make a decision. I've got to get this rest here. Because listen, folks, this old thing up here, guess what? As you get older, you want cognitive understanding and reasoning. You want to be able to focus. Unrest will bring confusion. We need the rest of God in our minds. Labor to enter that rest. In other words, my labor is to enter into God's thoughts, God's heart, God's plans. It's to enter into a faith that does believe all things work together for good. It enters into a faith that says, though I go through the fire, thou art with me. The flame's not going to kindle. Doesn't mean the flame's not there. And let me just say this. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says God is going to exempt us from all types of things. He says when you go through. just going to happen. You're going to have to turn that television off. You're going to have to stop listening to gainsayers. You're going to have to stop listening to religious people that don't really have a deep relationship. And you're going to have to get into a faith and an understanding. See, our labor is centered around this, that there is so much unbelieving spirits around. We have to labor to walk in that faith. I know my Redeemer liveth, Job said. When his children were dead and his wife mocked him, and all of a sudden, he said, but I know my Redeemer lives. And we kind of just read that over. Yeah, I understand, Job, but what a man of faith. He finally found some Terry Furman. And I'll tell you, one of the ways that God brought him out for him to labor, he didn't know how to labor into that rest. So God says, you know what, Job, I love you enough. I see your integrity. The whole universe is watching you. I'm going to teach you something about my rest. And here's how I'm going to do it, Job. I want you to come out of your house, stop watching your television, and you know what? I've got 68 questions I'm going to ask you. Now, you gird yourself up like a man, and here's the first one. Where were you when I created the universe? Tell me if you know, Job. What? 68 questions he asked him. And at the end of them, Job goes, I've heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust. At that moment, the rest of God came. And Job got up, his three friends came walking by. God was upset with them because they basically told Job, it's your sin, your unrighteousness that caused this. We researched the whole book of Job. God wasn't happy with it. So because Job was in his rest now, God said, pray for them. And when he prayed for them, he was healed from everything. Wouldn't you love it some night? God just says, not out here. No, not out here, Dad. Come on out here. Shelly, come on out here. Bessie, come on out here. Barry, come on out here. Look up at those stars. I want to ask you a question. But he does do that through the word. He says, as hard as the unrest is, I have a question for you. Where were you when I created everything? Trying to get the focus back to the eternal Word, who is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. There wasn't anything made that was made without Christ. So he brings him back. Where were you? I'm talking to you, man. Prayed for his friends. He was healed. They were healed. They were delivered. And God sent twice as much as he had. God's a good God. God's a restorer. It'll restore everything in your life that's brought unrest. Don't be weary by the years or months or weeks that it takes. He's watching over you. And he's watching over what you have and who you are and what you have. And he's watching over. And he's not just watching us when we come to church. He's listening in the middle of the night when you're uttering that prayer. When tears come down, he's listening to you as you drive your car. And through the city, say, oh God, can you save this city? He's listening and he's watching over his words in the forefront. What about the provision of rest? 2 Corinthians 7:5, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know what that tells me? That the rest of God that you're in can be imparted to others. That you can bring rest to someone else. Here's the great Apostle Paul. Another place he says that it was so hard, we despaired of life. We were lost. But God sent Titus with the rest of them. How many in this moment want to be of best to pour out the rest of God to someone else? And you know what I've learned? Everything I believe in God for. Some has come to pass, some has not come to pass. Some could bring me unrest. But I'm not waiting that everything isn't totally done before I give rest to others. Because I've learned even in our weakness and even in our belief in God that we're waiting. Even in the waiting, I want to give a washcloth. And for so long, well, I finally get it together and I finally get my rest. And when all my prayers are answered, then I'll get out that way. It will never happen. If it does happen, we'll have missed opportunities. There's people sitting right in this church tonight that need the rest that you have. Whatever capacity that rest is, how much it is, how much joy it is, whether it's 30% or 100%, they need that rest. And that's why relationships in the church are so crucial in this hour. We're not a social club, we're not the YMCA. Koinonia, fellowship with God, Acts chapter 13. They give themselves the Apostles' Creed, fellowship, and the breaking of bread. That's the standard. And when churches get away from that, and we do not care one for another, the members care. When we only care for a few over here, all that, and when we don't have the same care one for another, we can't bring the rest in the congregation of God. You should care for one another. Give them the rest you've got. And that could be a practical thing. Like, somebody's going through something and you went through it 10 years and God did a miracle, but they're still with you. You can say, you know what? I was in the same place, but God did this. Just hold on. You're bringing the rest. That's why just coming in and going out and coming in and going out and not combining is not good. That's why I hate the COVID thing. It's from hell. The separation. Churches are still recovering. Members are still not coming. I mean, it's just from hell. But you know what? God wants to do something in this house.
Amen.
Come on, folks. God loves you. Let's get back together. And encourage somebody. Last scripture. Jeremiah 6:16. I love this. Thus saith the Lord. When that says that, we need to, our ears should perk. This is God's eternal word written in the heavens. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest. Established by God in His Word that work. The Word of God is still eternal. Stand in the ways and see and ask, Lord, give me your path. What's the good way? What's the good decision in this? Because sometimes unrest can come when we make bad decisions. And bad decisions can be based on not seeing a pattern through the scriptures of how God relates to people. God hasn't changed how He relates to people because we have Wi-Fi, we have smoke machines and lights and backgrounds and nice pews. God hasn't changed His way of relating to us. So Jeremiah said this, and the Holy Spirit through Jeremiah, through the Lord, said, you're going to find rest when you find the good way. There's a good way to relate to God. There's a good way to relate to your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a good way to relate to the lost. There's a good way to relate to your family. Some of you are going to yourself in here. I want that beer poured down the sink. Yeah, Sally, start pouring it down right now. That's so stupid. That's not the good way. Well, Pastor, should I go in there and have a brew? That's up to you, baby, when you have a brew. But you won't go to hell if you do. I said you won't go to hell if you drink. I'm not advocating drinking, etc. But sometimes we don't know how. We don't know the good way to deal with people not serving Christ, especially like that. Yeah, I've read all this in the book. The works of my life. Book of mistakes. They'll say, if the Lord stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where's the good way of walk? See, that's the labor of entering into the rest. It's walking in the path. And when we get out of it, walk back in. There's no saint in this building that's going to never deal with getting out of God's rest until Jesus comes. We all will deal with it. And what causes you to get out of God's rest might not be what causes me. I mean, I go down the highway and people passing me, honking, you know, everything. And it doesn't bother me like it used to because, you know, I understand, you know, my driving. You know, see? Now, to them, they're very upset, you know. And when we first got married, when I would drive, the precious wife would, you know, Bill, you know, you drive like an old man. Mr. Magoo, putting down the thing. I understand that. So we would switch. Shoo! She takes right off, baby. But she's a better driver. So, Pastor, yeah, I passed you the other day. You know, we're just find the right path. Find the good way. You find rest for your soul. Everybody say soul. So, you want to know how much rest you're in? How much joy are you in? Can't separate them. I don't know about you. I want to live the rest of my life in rest. See, I can't control them. One of the maturing elements that we all must come to is I can't control others. I can't control the world. I can't control circumstances. I can't control my car breaking down. I can't control sometimes if I get a bill that's not mine. We have to come to this place. We're not in control. And God has left us here in a world that's not in control to develop self-control, and self-control stops me from trying to control things I cannot control. You can't change somebody's heart. You can't control a family member. I'm not talking about discipline and all that when we're growing. I'm not talking about that. And I think a lot of parents, we've gotten out of this rest because things aren't turning out how we thought. I'm just going to take control. Develop self-control. Find the good path, because the good path has God's thoughts that will help you through the situation. Congregations need to stay in the rest of God. I said the other day, I labored years, you know, I got to do that 24-7, you know, no vacation, people got to be saved, fill the church, increase. You know, when God spoke to me, he goes, you know what? What does my word say? Well, the harvest, you know, they asked and I've given. But God didn't answer that. He said, no, this is the verse. One waters, one plants, but I give the increase. Amen. That doesn't mean we don't water. See, we have to do our part. A lot of times we're not doing our part, we want God to do his part. So when you plant and you sow and you water and you witness and you invite, see, God rewards not the result of the work, he rewards the work. Because if that was the case, time that I'm not getting a reward. That's not true. God rewards the work you do, the labor you do towards that soul. Probably 90% of the time, you'll just be sowing and watering a life. So don't be discouraged. Give a cup of cold water, not only to the brethren, but also the unsaved. How many tonight want to walk in a new rest, a new joy? Remember, you leave this building, my joy is a sign. Like Paul, I count not myself to have been kidding. Did Jesus say that? But there's one thing I do. I forget those things. I forget those ways that stole my joy and my rest. And I press. I labor.